Welcome to the service this morning in the Saviour's name. We come into the presence of the Lord to worship Him, and as we do so, we sing together the hymn 50, Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not, as Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Things are a little bit different now. The laptop that was here is up there. I've got a screen here to look at, and your screen should be much brighter. We have on loan, just for a Sunday or two, a better projector. So everybody can see it despite the sun. All a lot better. Good. Good singing then. Amen. Sing again that third verse without the music, and our sisters can join in the chorus. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside.
Thank you.
Our psalm for today is the Psalm 24. Let us hear the word of God as we come to prayer. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Amen. We'll come before the Lord now in prayer. Seek his face together. We want to proclaim his faithfulness in the words that we sang earlier, words of scripture, words put into song. I want to acknowledge that as we come to the Lord today. We want the King of glory to come among us, for the gates to be lifted up and for the Lord to come in. May it be so. There are those among us today whose sorrow and our thoughts have been with them this week. There are those connected to us who are sick, and our thoughts have certainly been with them, especially those that are in a serious condition today. We have been praying as a congregation for those that we do not know. They are at a distance, and I refer to the pastors over there in India who had contracted COVID-19. The particular man that was in ICU that we've been remembering, very sadly he passed away and leaves behind a wife and children. And another dear pastor connected to the work there also died through this virus. Loving Heavenly Father, we are thy people. We are thine by redemption, for thou hast bought us with the blood of thine own dear Son. We are thine by covenant, for thou hast brought us into covenant relationship with thyself. We praise thee for the union that we have with our blessed Saviour, Jesus Christ. We are thine today through election, for thou hast called us with a holy calling, and thou hast chosen us in Christ from the foundation of the world. Lord, we thank thee for putting your hand upon us in grace and mercy and lifting us from a world of sin, bringing us unto Christ. We're here this day to worship thee, to proclaim your goodness and your mercy, even in the midst of life that can be difficult and turbulent at times. Very aware that here in the house of God there are those who sorrow, mourn over the passing of their loved ones. And we think especially of the Hegarty family. We pray that thou will continue to be with them in their grief and comfort them in the reality of where their dear one has gone. And we thank thee that she's in glory today. Thank thee for that moment in her experience when she was saved by the grace of God. And therefore for her, it was indeed absent from the body to be present with the Lord. But there are those that are left and remain here on the earth, and they feel the pain of parting. And we do pray for their comfort today. Remember also these families in India. We do not know them personally, but They are part of the greater family, the family of God. And sorrow is just the same there. And we do pray for wives and children and family members who mourn the passing of dear pastors who no longer will have the opportunity to carry out their ministry and the preaching of the word. The Lord has called them home to higher service. And so remember those that mourn. We think of those in the sick list as well. And we pray very especially for Mickey Morrison today. Lord, you know the severity of his condition, and we want to commit him very lovingly to thee. We pray for your presence to surround him, that he might be very conscious that he's upheld in a time of need. Underneath and round about are the everlasting arms of a gracious and a loving God. And we know that all things work together for good to those that love thee. And we pray that this dear man will prove that to be so. Remember Barbara Strong as well in hospital, and bring healing to her body. Thank thee for the opportunities that we have had to serve thee this day already, and we pray that you'll bless the preaching of the word and all that has been done. But this is a new time. This is a new season of worship and preaching, and so we pray for our worship service now, that thou wilt shut us in with thyself, that the Lord will come graciously near, that we will know that God is in this house today, speaking to us, communing to us, with us, opening up his word to our hearts, blessing us in the songs that we sing. Lord, we pray that you'll overshadow this gathering. You know every individual, you know every family. You know what we're passing through, you know our needs. And so we commend this congregation to the care of Almighty God today. And for those especially that are burdened in any way, we seek to cast all our care upon Christ who cares for us. We think, Lord, of the need to know the mind of God in these days. And Daily Light this morning was all about God instructing and leading his people. May we know that experience every day when we waken in the morning, the guidance of God being there to direct us through every given day, to lead us to the places where he would have us to be, to speak to the people that he would have us to speak to. And there's a ministry to be carried out, a work to be done in light of the great eternity of God. Oh, teach us your will in these days, and bless the free church here in Northern Ireland, down in the south of Ireland, across the Irish Sea and the mainland, throughout Europe, and Lord, the rest of the world in its various places, the nations that you've been pleased to bring us to. Let your word go forth with mighty power today, and may a work be done that will greatly glorify our God and bring honor to his blessed Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. That you welcome again to the house of God on this beautiful Lord's Day. And to those that are tuning in on Sermon Audio and Facebook, welcome also. Gospel meeting is tonight at 7. I want to preach on the apostles' focus upon the future. And Paul certainly had a great focus upon when he came to the end of the journey and where he would be, his departure from this life. Pray for us as we seek to bring that message this evening. Thursday night at the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study at 8 o'clock, Alejandro Bernabeu will hopefully be bringing his second message. We look forward to that. He's in Philippians chapter 1, and he's bringing the other part of verse 21. That happened before, but it's not the same place, because I know it's on the ground this time. But that's okay. These things do happen. Next Lord's Day, the worship service is at 12 o'clock. The gospel meeting is at 7, and in between, we do want to try and have our open-air services during the month of August. So at 3:30 in the afternoon, we always go to the glebe side for the first of these, and we encourage you to come. We will have our social distancing even outside, but we want to make this witness for the Lord, and it will not come again until next year. So we look to him for help and wisdom in these days as we carry out the work. Thank you for your tithes and offerings and contributions to the Lord's work. We acknowledge those gifts that have been given. We received quite a few gifts to the minibus appeal, and the total amount is now €4,500.50. And we received a gift of £1,000 toward the Indian Orphan Project. We'd like to extend our sincere sympathy to Lisa and Andrew and their spouses and their family and the whole wider Hegarty family circle in the death of their grandmother, Mrs. Hegarty, who went to be with the Lord this week. She's in glory now, and that's the confidence of the gospel. It's good to know where our loved ones are when they leave this life, and they have the assurance of that today. But we pray for them in their sorrow that the Lord will comfort them. We pray for the Sunday services, the youth challenge coming up now in August. Pray for our students, Alex who finishes, Jonathan and David as they continue. And we want to include, as we said last week, Greg in the number as he enters Bible College training in September. We remember these days of COVID-19, things are improving a little, and then we hear of some setbacks. I feel sorry for those who have travelled to Spain on their holidays. They now have to quarantine themselves from midnight last night. If they are over there coming back, they have to quarantine for 2 weeks. That came very unexpectedly. That's how things are going to be for the next little while. So we pray for the protection of our families and congregation. We pray for the comfort of God's word in these days. We look to the Lord for gospel opportunities, and we certainly pray that men will come to Christ, that there will be conversions. We think of the children and young people of the church and those connected to our family here and the seniors at the other end of the scale. Remember Minister Elders Committee, all the workers of the church in these days. What we're able to do, we're glad to do. What we can't do, we're sorry about that. But as the Lord enables us and guides us, we will seek to serve him in these days. We continue to remember the doctors and nurses and all that are in the care work and hospital work, frontline services, that the Lord will be with them. And we pray for the sick and needy. Michael Morrison, we've mentioned, he is very ill. We were able to go down to see him yesterday in the city hospital, and he was hoping to get moved as quickly as possible up to Coleraine and hopefully home. But he needs our prayers and support, and the family likewise, in this time of need. Remember the others, please, at the throne of grace. Remember the missionaries at home and abroad. We had tremendous times with the mission board presentation of the gospel among the children this week. Whatever I was able to see, it was very good, and hundreds of children have been reached in the past week with the gospel, and we're thankful for that. Now, our own summer youth challenge will take place online, and if you are on Facebook, you possibly have seen this little advertisement. So the dates are the 10th to the 14th of August, and children need to sign up. Now, sometimes Ballymoney folks are a wee bit slow in signing up, and maybe you're guilty of this, and we want you to get in there. We need to know the numbers. There's a lot of preparation needs to be made when it comes to supplying things that the children need to get every day. And so as we plan towards that, we need to get an accurate estimation of the number that will be involved. The seniors, I think there's only maybe one child so far from our church enrolled, and there's many others to come in there who are 12 and over. So I'm just making that wee appeal to parents and children to attend to it as soon as you can and get signed up. Just very quickly, because the slides should be a lot clearer than what they were last Lord's Day. The aid was given out there at Emmanuel to the neighbouring villages and community. It was very much appreciated. And at the same time, Andy has been working on the container project to supply office space. And so the windows and doors were cut out, and they began to do the insulation inside. And this is how the project developed over the past week. Got it sanded down, ready for painting. And look at that. Looks like new, doesn't it? They've done an excellent job. and we're thankful for the team that came in to do that. We mentioned to you the emergency food distribution in the land of Nepal. Just continue to pray for these needy people in that land. And we had the opportunity this morning to preach on God's command to repent to these folks. Most of them are unconverted people. They are not familiar with the gospel. And so we thought we would go to Acts chapter 17 and Paul's sermon to the superstitious people of Athens, where he presented God, who God is, the creator, the sustainer, the judge of all men, and gave that call to repentance, which we did this morning. They did have the singing of the hymns, and we heard a couple of the songs, didn't understand them, but we heard them. And this lady, I know, was asked to read my text from the Urdu Bible, and then thereafter there was food distribution. And remember our sister Freya, who is also working there in Pakistan as a believer among these ladies, and they have been helped also in these needy times with little food parcels. The distribution to the orphans has continued in the land of India, and we're thankful for all who have made contributions towards that. The pastors in India have been helped with emergency food packages, and these are just some of the pastors that we have conferences with. So these are new slides to you. They've just come through the past week from our brother Dipankar. But as you see, these pastors, their wives and their families, do take them upon your hearts and pray for them. In the will of the Lord, in the month of August, we will be doing a pastor's conference with them. There's a number of speakers, including the Reverend Harris and our brother, the Reverend Strip, and Dipankar, and Ravi, and myself. So we hope to do this on Zoom. We ask you to pray for the pastors who contracted COVID-19, and this was the dear man who died on Friday morning, very early on Friday morning, and then was buried that same day in the afternoon. He died with the virus. Another pastor who had contracted the virus, he and his family were missionaries in Cambodia until they decided to come back to India due to coronavirus. And on the 24th of June, they flew to Guwahati, or whatever way that's pronounced, from Delhi. They were placed at a quarantine centre, and while they were there, the pastor tested positive for COVID-19. He was hospitalised, and he passed away on Friday. Just keep these matters before the Lord in prayer. We hope that they are processed now over the next number of weeks. Let's worship God in the singing of 645. I'm sure there's many a heart and sorrow has entered into it. Is there a heart or bound by sorrow? Is there a life weighed down by care? Come to the cross, each burden bearing, all your anxiety, leave it there.
Thank you.
Well, let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles 16. We'll take the reading up at verse 7. And at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host, with very many chariots and horsemen, yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth, to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein hast thou done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Then Asa was wroth with the seer, and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 30th and 9th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers, and died in the 41st year of his reign. And they buried him in his own sepulchres, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in the bed, which was filled with sweet odors and divers kinds of spices, prepared by the apothecary's art. And they made a very great burning for him. Ending our reading there at verse 14. May the Lord bless it to every heart. Let us pray. Bless us in our study, Lord, as we come again to think about this king of Old Testament times. And as we think about the sickness of this man, Lord, we want to learn from thee. And so direct our way now in your precious word. I need the Holy Spirit, and so does the congregation. Therefore, I pray that he will be poured out upon us now in great measure, giving us help and wisdom and understanding in the things of God for Jesus' sake. Amen. And so we come to Asa, the king, the sick king, and we take for our text the words of verse 12 that we read together. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. Sickness and suffering, trouble and trial, affliction and adversity is a huge subject, especially when it comes to the life of the child of God. Christians can be sick, just as much as anyone else can be sick in this world. The Lord's people can encounter illness and disease. They can fall into the darkest nights and the deepest valleys when it comes to these physical frames of ours. We know not what we might be called upon to face in the Christian life, what hard and perhaps inexplicable providence may overtake us in our earthly pilgrimage. In fact, it is good that the future is hidden from view, though we don't know what is around the corner. We don't know what tomorrow and the coming days have in store for us. There are many paths that we would not choose, especially when it comes to this matter of sickness. There is no doubt that these bodies of ours are fearfully and wonderfully made. When we ponder the complexity, the unity, the activity, the variety of the human body in its makeup, in its functions and abilities, it is beyond mortal comprehension. There is so much that we know with advancements in science and medicine, so much that has been learned and we have come to understand with finite intelligence, what achievements have been made, what details have been chronicled, what cures have been discovered, and what exploits have been accomplished when it comes to the subject of the human body. Now, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a scientist, I have never trained in medicine as others, but I have gained a little knowledge along the way. As a layman, in education, in medical books, in science programs, and of course in pastoral duties, to know a little about the complexities of our bodies and the great advancements made in the medical world. We can certainly declare, therefore, with the psalmist, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And yet, though wonderful and complicated and amazing we might be in our frame and function, there are many things that can go wrong, and most of us know that. And there are some sitting here in this congregation and undoubtedly listening in today, and you know that even more because you've been there when it has come to sickness. With the entrance of sin came decay and corruption of the body. We are mere mortals. We are here upon the earth just for a little time, just a little time. Adam, in his perfect human body, had the potential of living forever if sin had not entered. There was no such thing as sickness and disease, no such thing as aging as we know it today, or weakness, and certainly there was no such thing as death in those days of perfection before the fall, because these things came with the fall of man. Adam died. Abel died. Cain died. Seth died. And every descendant of Adam died. Every son of Adam died. Except for Enoch and Elijah, of course. Enoch that walked with God and was not, for God took him. And Elijah, who went to heaven in a whirlwind, are the only two men in the whole history of this world that never saw death. The human tabernacle, these tents, that's all we are. You're sitting here and you've maybe made preparation to come to God's house today, and as we say in Ulster terms, you got all dickied up, all right? Maybe that's the case, I don't know. Maybe looking at others, maybe you didn't. But you're here today, and you've come to the house of God, but these bodies that we sit in, they're just tents. They're just a tabernacle. That's all we are. And the process of decay and disorder came with the entrance of sin. When you read about the generations of Adam, Genesis chapter 5, the one glaring consistency common to all of them was the fact that they died. And that little phrase, as you know, in the chapter is repeated. And they died, and he died, and he died. The first time that we read about infirmity and weakness in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 24 and verse 1. And it was Abraham. We're told that Abraham was old, and he was well stricken in age. And the next time you read about it, just incidentally, is in chapter 27 and verse 1. Isaac was old and his eyes were dim. The first time we discover actual sickness mentioned in the Bible is not until Genesis chapter 24 and the opening verse. But certainly sickness came, or Genesis 48, sorry, in verse 1. But sickness came even to our forefathers way back in these days. Behold, thy father is sick. The message that is given to Joseph. And the first time that the word sickness is mentioned is in Exodus 23 and verse 25. He shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. And so sickness was there. Right back in the beginning of days, or in the early centuries of this world. And sickness has been there ever since, down through the successive generations. The shadows of sickness fall for a variety of reasons. Sometimes it's very difficult to explain why. But there are a number of reasons why sickness comes, and sometimes Satan is permitted to afflict the bodies of individuals. And we think of Job. Job was afflicted by the devil. God gave the devil permission to bring sickness to the body of this patriarch. We know also that the woman in New Testament days that was bowed down with her infirmity, the cause of it was the devil. The devil had afflicted her in this way. Evil spirits in Bible times cause multiple infirmities. Sometimes the reason is sin. It's responsible for our ailments. The result, for example, of a sinful life can bring disease. Smoking, drinking, drugs, immorality, that kind of lifestyle often brings sickness to the body. And then sometimes it's a sovereign God who sends or who permits sickness to come to our bodies. And he does this for a number of reasons. And I suppose the two main reasons, one is to chasten us. If we have erred and stepped out of the way, the Lord who loves us, as our gracious Heavenly Father, he steps into our life to chasten us. And the other is to try us. It's some kind of trial that the Lord has permitted to strengthen us. But be it far from any one of us to pronounce ourselves as the judge and to make a declaration as to the reason why sickness has come. That's a dangerous road to go down. We may have our thoughts. We may have our views, but you're better keeping those views to yourself. God deliver us from a harsh and critical spirit that proclaims the judgment of God upon those who suffer. What may be the case, but it may not be the case. And I would go as far to say that 99% of the time we would probably be wrong in our assessment, because we are not God. And anyhow, what happens when sickness comes our way? I know those people who are so judgmental and so quick to say, oh, the Lord's judging that individual. And then sickness has come to them. And they're not so quick to say, the Lord's judging me. Oh, this is just a trial that the Lord has brought my way. Just be very, very careful in the things that we say and pronounce. Now, there are some definite statements that we can make about sickness. Sickness comes to all. Every single son of Adam will at some time or another face sickness of some kind. It's always for the glory of God. When it comes to the Christian, God never does anything in our lives that is not for his glory. And it's always for our good, even though we can't see it. And there's no doubt when the hard times come, the trials press upon us, and sickness overtakes our bodies, we can hardly see the good of it. And yet we are assured that all things are working together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. King Asa, who had lived such a good and a godly life for so many of his years, a man associated, as you know, with reformation, with revival, and with restoration, a man of prayer and faith and courage and leadership, he failed in his latter days. He failed the Lord. And the past two Lord's days, we were thinking about him failing in a time of war. He didn't trust God in that time. And now we see in this reading that he failed in a time of sickness. And I want to begin to look at this today. I don't think that we'll get through all the message. We'll come back to it next Lord's Day. But I do want to come at least to the first point, and just stress with you the reality of his sickness, and just remind ourselves the reality of sickness coming to us as well. Look at verse 12 of the passage of Scripture that we read with you, 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 12. Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. And so we see the descent of it. It came into his life. Asa was diseased. A dark shadow of sickness descended upon his body, struck his physical frame, overtook him in the path of life. Up until that time, it would appear the king enjoyed good health. We have no reason to suggest otherwise, that he had lived in good health up until now. How often we take our health for granted. I think we're all guilty of that. Sometimes it's not until bodily afflictions smite us that we realize the value of the health that we've enjoyed. Some will be familiar with a little poem. It's really a poem to express the value of your soul, but it begins, to lose one's wealth is sad indeed. To lose one's health is more. To lose one's soul is such a loss that no man can restore. And that little verse that has been penned is just to remind us that there are losses in this life. And if we lose our wealth, if we lose our finance, it's a great loss. And if we lose our health, it's far worse when health is taken from us. When we sail through life's journey with good health and strength, and all is well with these mortal frames of ours, it's a great blessing. It's an enjoyment of this life, because nobody wants to be sick. Nobody chooses the path of disease or queues up for a road that is mapped out by weakness, pain, distress, or bodily disorder. But sickness comes. It intrudes upon our lives. It overtakes our merry pathway. And the doctor diagnoses a disease. Can I speak with you? You can bring a member of the family with you. And when you hear that kind of language from the doctor, you know it's not good. He's got something to say. When he wants to talk to me and I'm allowed to bring a family member, he's got bad news. And so he breaks the news. You've got cancer. You have a tumor. You have heart disease or some other chronic illness, and it's real. Disease is no respecter of classes. No respecter of ages, no respecter of places, and no respecter of spiritual state either. It can come. The reality of this man's sickness, we have the descent of it. Asa was diseased. We have the description of it. And there's two things to note here in the verse. He was diseased in his feet, and his disease was exceeding great. Now, what this particular malady was, we're not told. Was it peripheral vascular disease? Was it gout? Was it degenerative osteoarthritis? Those diseases affect the feet and the legs of a person. We just don't know. It would be a guess. But whatever it was exceeding great. It's the language that is used here. It was a terrible affliction, and disease can be terrible. We read about a centurion's servant who was sick of the palsy, but we are told that he was grievously tormented. That sickness that had come to his body, this palsy that had overtaken him, it was something that was very grievous to him. The woman of Canaan had a daughter who was grievously vexed, and the demoniac son, you remember, was sore vexed. And this can be our experience. When disease comes, it can be exceeding great. The descent of it the description of it, the duration of it. The disease emerged, we are told, in the 39th year of his reign, and he died in the 140th year of his reign, and so it seems that this sickness lingered for a period of 2 years. Disease can be prolonged. There are those who pass through long drawn out years of pain and infirmity. The woman with the issue of blood that we read about in the New Testament, she had it for 12 years. The woman that was stooped to the ground that we mentioned earlier with spinal curvature, she endured that sickness for 38 years in her life. And the blind man of John chapter 9, he had it all his life, for he was blind from birth until the Lord in John 9 cured him. And there's others, and they suffer for shorter periods of time. Their illness is brief, progressive. For Asa, it was just 2 years, it seems. I want to give you the second thought here in the text, the reason for a sickness. Now, we're not told specifically, but I think that we can rightly assume when we read the information here. Remember, he left God out of his life. He failed to trust God in the battle. He neglected the place of prayer. He got his eyes off the Lord. He aligned himself with the ungodly. He rejected the rebuke of the prophet that was sent by God. He refused to humble himself and confess his sin. And he even persecuted the man of God with vindictiveness. Matthew Henry said he had put the prophet in the stocks. And now God put him in the stocks, so his punishment answered his sin. We need to be very careful how we treat other people. There's a Bible law, and it's very simple. It's the law of the harvest. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And it seems that Asa is reaping something now. When God sends reproof, he does so in love and mercy. He whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Turn over for a moment to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and look at verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? And here the writer is quoting from Proverbs 3. You know what the psalmist said? He said, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord. And we think of the church at Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19. We know that they were under the chastening hand of the Lord. For God says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And therefore he calls upon that church there to repent. God's chastening is always designed to bring us back into the way. We're to learn from it. We're to sit up. We're to be challenged. Sometimes sickness comes so that God can get our attention. Makes us look up. We referred there to Hebrews chapter 12. And in verse 11, we read, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So there is a purpose in what God does. And David testified in the Old Testament, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. But sickness is not always related to chastisement. We have to say that. Sometimes it's an inexplicable providence. And keep Job in mind. We think of the sufferings of Job. Job was not afflicted the way that he was afflicted because of some grievous sin in his life. The Bible is clear about that. He was a perfect man in his generations. He was a man that loved the Lord, a man that walked with God, a man that had a testimony that was second to none in that part of the world. And yet sickness came to his body. All our afflictions are sovereign and they're providential. We can say, as Job said, he knoweth the way that I take when he's tried me, and it's God that does the trying. Sickness draws us closer to the Lord. It ought to. It makes us depend upon him. It strengthens us in our faith. And I think it creates a desire for heaven. In my pastoral care, I've talked to so many, especially when they've come nearer the end of life's journey, and they just long to go to heaven, to be with the Lord. And their ailment, whatever it was, just made them long to be with Christ. There is, of course, a refining process permitted by the Lord. You think of the gold and the silver that is put into the refiner's fire. God says, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." In Isaiah 48 and verse 10. And Peter deals with the subject of suffering and trial in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, when he says, "The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire," this is the refiner's fire, "might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." In the 4th chapter and verse 12, he says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you." But we must remind ourselves in the midst of it all that our light affliction is but for a moment, and it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Asa was sick, and it's likely in his case it was a reproof from the Lord. When he failed to turn at the reproof of the prophet Hanani, God sent affliction into his life. And so we can only speak about the king here. We can't speak for every situation, but it's likely God was reproving him for his sin and neglect. Sickness is real. There's always a reason for it. We just need to come in such times as we will begin to see and look to the Lord in the midst of it all and find out, if we can, the purpose of it. And even if we don't, just trust in the Lord and keep ourselves right with him. And he will see us through whatever the trial is, whatever the suffering is, whatever the sickness might be. Let us pray. Father, we know that all Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable. You never give any word, not even the slightest little word of Scripture, in vain. But we are to learn from it. And we want to learn from Asa, this godly man who, at the end of the journey, failed the Lord and failed him in the ways that your word outlines. Help us, Lord, in the midst of the battle, or in the midst of the trial, maybe sickness, to trust thee and to keep our eyes firmly upon the Lord. Bless the congregation here. Encourage them in Christ today. As we leave God's house, may we leave knowing that God is with us. May your Spirit be poured out upon us to live the Christian life this day and in the coming week, to bring honor and glory to Christ for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you again for coming to the house of God and being part of this service and worshiping with us. You will be told how to leave in an orderly fashion. Keep you all safe. We're so glad to see you. Stewards can start getting you out But lovely to see the families, as I said one other day, sitting together, the children, parents, coming to the house of God for worship. It just delights our heart to see that. The Lord be with you.